07855 178 665, or visit our website, all the W's, anytech.co.uk.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. Hello. We are raising awareness and funds for research by the Institute of Cancer Research to discover a targeted chemo or cure for this rare form of cancer called desmoplastic small round cell tumors, DSRCT. Sadly, any treatment or cure for Kelly is too late, but you can help us try to fight this horrible disease and help other young people in the future. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save children's lives. Thank you.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio. In association with Biz Radio, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Apple Athelbrey have tweeted in. They say, B Bunker Vanilla Web. Could we plead, with no mention of me whatsoever there? Could we have a shout-out for our coaching options? Coaches work closely with existing leaders and aspiring managers and those already in post to develop their own personal targets. Highly recommended by those who have already experienced great results. Call us, they say. Thank you so much. And you'll find them on, she says hurriedly looking, Athelbrey, which is A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E. .co.uk. Go on there and you'll find out about Keith, Kate, Fran and the team.
And you can follow them on the Twitter at Athelbrey LTD.
Thank you for that.
You didn't read this, and I know why you didn't read this, but we've had a tweet about your plant-based thing.
Oh, yeah, go on.
It's from Pod Social, which is lovely Tash.
Yeah. It was in recently, wasn't
she,
it?
Yeah. And she says, ha-ha, it's Tash here. Yeah. She says, I love plant-based labelling. It's because most shop products all contain butter and milk. It's in everything. So for the dairy intolerant wanting a quick fix dinner, it's great to grab and go anything that's plant-based.
Did you see my retort?
No.
My retort was, yes, used to be called vegan.
Yeah.
Not plant-based. A potato is plant-based, a plant, okay?
Well, it is
it's
odd,
just vegan.
It is odd labelling, isn't it? Are they trying to do something? Are they trying to
branding, isn't it?
Yeah, they're trying to make us all vegan by pretending it's only plants.
Well, Bill Gates wants us all to eat soy.
I tell you, years ago, I did a radio show live from the Free From show at Olympia.
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
And they made me taste all this stuff, and it was horrible.
Cardboard.
It was all cardboard.
Dry.
Back in the day, what they did, you know, they had vegetarian sausages and vegan chicken, which is a nonsense. You shouldn't be allowed to call it sausages and chicken if it's vegan.
Yeah. And the stuff they put in, it's very soy-based.
Yeah. Most of it tasted horrible. It all tasted the same. It all tasted kind of
I remember cardboard. That show.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And of course, things have moved on a lot since then, because there's nothing wrong with vegan food and vegetarian food, because anyone can eat it. Anyone that's normal can eat it.
Thyroid and vegan does not go. Lentils, no. Legumes, no. Grains, no. Makes me very tired, really lethargic and puffy
and windy.
A little bit puffy. No, I don't get windy. Even if I eat sprouts, I don't get windy. I've been eating sprouts
you
every week.
You eat a lot of sprouts, don't you? I've been watching you. You've been eating sprouts. You had sprouts on Sunday
I love them. Yeah, I love them. And I steam them lightly, and they're just so nice. And I've been having a lot of squash. Squash is so in season at the moment.
Did you see that person selling... They sold sprouts online. If somebody bought them, they sold them as dwarf cabbages.
Oh, no. That is so clever.
£1 each. Especially grown dwarf carrots.
£1 each?
Per
sprout.
Yeah.
Anyway, sprouts are in season. I've also ordered my turkey. My Christmas turkey.
I've ordered my entire Christmas...
Dinner.
Not just the dinner. All the food, right?
How organised you are.
Well... It was my mother-in-law tipped us off to this.
Yeah.
It's a company in Inverness.
Oh.
Yeah. And I normally have a particular type of turkey.
You get your bronze, don't you? Kelly bronze. Yeah. I know, every year.
Which is extortionately expensive.
Yeah.
And I went in this year to look at it. It was 84 quid.
Mine's
just for the turkey.
Mine's more than that.
Right. So I found this place, or my mother-in-law tips off this place in Inverness. They're a butchers, but they do loads of things. So we got a Kenny Bronze turkey.
Lovely.
And we got a gammon ham, and we got this, that, and the other, and all kind of the whole thing.
£5.
The whole kit and caboodle was 90 quid.
Wow.
Delivered to our door.
Please, can you send me the link?
Yeah.
Well, I have an organic turkey every year, and
a
I
what?
Don't mind.
A what?
An organic
a
turkey.
Oh, organic, right.
Yeah, and it's artisanal. Isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. I don't mind paying extra because I know that that turkey has had a nice, you know, it's been running around. It's got a lovely little life.
Well, the ones I get, they have my name on it. Yeah. I'd drive past the farm all during the summer and it would be running around going, I'm Paul's turkey.
But now you're having a muck turkey.
But now I'm having a muck turkey. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's lovely. I am organised. I have ordered all my veg and stuff, but I get it all in a box from Riverford every, I get a Riverford every week.
Yeah.
But I have been having sprouts. I hope I haven't peaked too soon and that Christmas Day.
Don't peak too soon.
You know, you never know. And I have had a few mince pies already, which is early, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're barely into November.
I know. I'm wearing one today.
A mince pie?
Around my waist.
Sorry, you've lost me there. You're wearing a mince pie around your waist.
Yeah, it's called calories.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Keep up, Paul Andrews.
I mean,
do you know, Terry, a couple of months ago, you'd have got that joke.
Oh, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I'm slowing down. I'm getting old. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a memory like an elephant, though, still, which is very, very good.
Yeah.
Shall we talk to Will now? Or shall we read things?
I'd much rather talk to Will.
I'm at a bit of a loss, really. I've got quite a lot of emails to get through. I wish I'd made a hot drink. And poor Will, I made him a cup of tea and he never drank it. He was too nervous, I think, to drink it.
Or maybe you just made a mess of the tea.
Yeah, I think he had stage fright. That's
not
what
sure
it was.
About that, but
yeah.
He's very calm now.
I can't believe that for one minute. I think you probably messed up his tea because he was drinking decaf tea.
I'm notoriously fussy with my tea.
I am.
Yeah.
Do you know when I go to
Did
a
she mess the milk? Oh, shut up.
No comment. No, I couldn't possibly say.
I thought it was very nice hot water mug.
She bought him a cup of hot water.
Yeah, well, that's all I can do because he had his own tea bag.
And then he said, I've got my own tea bag. And he said, but can I have some milk?
Yeah, well, that threw me a bit.
You do look after your guests on this show.
Yeah, not very well. Yeah.
I've got my own little tea bags, but mostly
empty. But she just stole them from various hotels she's been staying in.
No, this is a Cornish, this one, Cornish tea, which I love. But I have my tea black.
It grows wild in Cornwall, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. But I have my tea black and I forget. But when I go to a cafe, of course, they give you a pot of tea, Will, and they assume you're having milk and they make it so strong. So then I have to make a fuss and say, do you mind if I have a saucer so I can dig the tea bags out?
Do you know what she did to me last week? She gave me coffee with coconut milk in it.
Oh, yeah, it's lovely.
I drink black tea and black coffee and always have done. And she gave me coffee with coconut milk and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever
had. Plant-based milk?
It's plant-based milk. You're very right, Will. Anyway, enough of all that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, I believe, for the very first time onto the Business Bunker show, Mr. Will Wood of Axis.
Yes,
Accountants.
Well,
yeah, he said it very well.
That's it, Axis Accountants.
He's been practising all morning.
And you're based in Maidstone, I think.
We are. And Jules, you asked earlier how we come up with the name.
Yes.
So it's Accounting Systems, Axis.
Now that's clever, isn't it?
See, it makes sense now. Now you can pronounce it properly. Now.
I have regretted calling it that ever since I started.
But it is clever.
No one can pronounce it.
It's probably too clever. That's the trouble.
Yes.
Well, it's not. It shouldn't really be that difficult, is it? It's only two words.
Once you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's clever.
It's all those people that invent names and then pronounce them weirdly and then get upset when you can't pronounce them properly. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not, it is what it says on the tin, Axis, really. Yeah.
Yeah, I read a book by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth.
Right.
It's all about systems and processes.
Yeah.
And I love systems and processes, so accounting systems.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Followed on from there, really.
Yeah. So, how long ago did you found Axis?
So next year is our 15th anniversary.
Fantastic. He doesn't look old enough, does he?
No. He looks like a spring chicken.
Mm-hmm. An organic spring chicken.
And we were chatting as we walked along the corridor, as you do. Mm-hmm. And you've got two brands, really, haven't you, Will?
I do actually run Axis Accountants in Maidstone and a company called Walmer and Kennedy in Rochester. Shout out to both of them guys. I know they're listening.
Right.
And we focus on different markets, really.
Okay. Well, give us an overview of the two markets that the two organisations do.
So Axis Accountants is all about growing businesses. Anyone who wants to grow, we only deal with limited companies and people that are interested in creating employment, taking on employees and investing and growing their businesses. And we work with entrepreneurs and growing businesses. And Warman Kennedy focuses on everyone else, really.
Right, okay.
They traditionally...
Sole traders and all kinds of,
Yeah, so Warman Kennedy has been going since 1989, I believe. So, and I'm a recent owner of that company.
So is this a purchase? Have you purchased the company?
So I purchased that on the 1st of March 2020.
Right. Which, well, good timing, Will. Good timing, eh?
It was quite interesting. But and because we were... they're a great company. They've really good traditions. I just needed a little bit of modernisation. So I'll be working with the team there to do that.
Okay, cool. So let's go back to Axis and based in Maidstone. And you specialise in dealing with limited companies that are looking to grow, is basically the way to put it.
Yeah, my marketing manager, Mia, she's come up with a new hashtag for us, Not Your Average Accountant.
Right.
For Axis Accountants, which I think is really good,
right?
Because that's we're not very untraditional. Is that a word? Untraditional?
Non-traditional, untraditional.
Oh, it's better than artisanal.
Yeah.
We're not traditional because we don't do a lot of things that a traditional accountant would do. So we don't. We become much more part of the business rather than sort of being just focusing on the year-end accounts. So
we
become part of the management team.
Okay.
So
would it be fair to say you're more, you're kind of consultancy based to a large extent, and you're focusing on the day to day finances of a company rather than just the end of year audit?
Absolutely, yeah.
So do you do end of year audits still?
We don't do audits. We do financial accounts, so we do the year end accounts. We're chartered accountants,
right?
But the problem with being a chartered accountant, as soon as you say I'm a chartered accountant, everyone knows instantly what you do,
right?
And just pretend, you know, generally looks for someone else to talk to be honest. But so we do focus more on the monthly management accounts than the year end stuff. The year end stuff you have to do. We all need to comply because HMRC will, you know, will jump on you if you don't. But the day-to-day reality of business owners is much more important to us because at the end of the day, they need to make decisions now and not at the year end.
Mm. It all comes, always seems to come around Christmassy year end. I hate that when we're all busy and things and you have all these things to do. So do you help manage that so you don't get rushed?
Yeah, we're obviously we still do tax returns and we're in tax return season at the moment. So my guys are working hard to get it all done for Christmas. And they're talking about moving that deadline at some point. So it's more of a April year end rather than a January year end. We're very, as you would imagine by the name, very organised. We stay on top of things.
Right.
But the good thing about Axis Accountants is we don't have 1,000 clients, and we never will have. We have a lot less clients, but we get more involved in their reality rather than.
I tell a story about this a couple of years ago. I happened to mention on one of the radio shows I was doing that I was going to see my accountant on a couple of days after the show, and people started tweeting in, going, "Oh, you poor thing! What?" Excuse me, I don't understand. Why am I a poor thing for going to see my accountant? And they went, "Oh, it's like going to see the headmaster." Yeah. And I said, No. You're viewing your accountant in completely the wrong light. The way I view my accountants is as consultants, as part of my team. That, you know, I talk to them on a regular basis and they give me advice. That's why I'm paying them. Yeah, because they have very technical knowledge about how to do things and how to do things the right way. And I like to talk to my accountants because I find them quite helpful.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah, well, but so many people just see it as a chore and I just thought, well, that's weird, you know.
So one of the things that's changed the game is a product called Xero. So that's changed the whole game because before... you used to have to wait to get the backup, you know, the Sage backup or the QuickBooks backup or something that years, you know, for the end of the year to know what's actually happened in your client.
Well,
now we do and we log on every week and we can see exactly what's going on. So it's changed the game. Rather than waiting for that year-end meeting where it's a bit late to do anything about it by then.
Well, again, it never ceases to amaze me with a lot of companies who don't really do monthly management accounts. And you just think, really? You really don't know where you are from one month to the next? That's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, and I think the problem is the traditional way of billing accountancy is to charge by the hour.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you don't want to ask your accountant, how do I do this? Because you're going to get an extra bill. And so we only have fixed fees, so you can talk to us as much as much as you want. So my guys are answering phones all day, answering queries.
But as you say, Will, with online systems and Xero and other products are available. Xero tends to be the biggest. In fact, Gary Turner, the founder of Xero, has been on this show as a guest.
Oh, fantastic.
And also Tim Foraker, who founded ClearBooks, has also been a guest on the show. But Tim has left ClearBooks now and started something else.
As has Gary now.
Gary's kind of retired. Because he's really wealthy now, aren't you, Gary? And luckily enough, I had the opportunity to work with Gary as well on an event about 18 months, 2 years ago in Canterbury. Anyway, one of the things about products like Xero, of course, is it's so much easier to produce your monthly accounts. You press a button and it adds it up for you.
Yeah, I mean, my guys, we spend a lot of time recoding and putting things in to make sure the management accounts make sense.
Yeah.
But then we sort of talk to the owners and you know, try and explain, because I think a lot of people struggle to understand the numbers that the systems are producing. And you know, sometimes accountants in the past, I'm not sort of mentioning any names of course, but can make their clients feel a bit like they're going to see the headmaster and feel a bit you know patronizing maybe. I'm sure that's
You can comment on this if you want, Will, or you can completely ignore me. One of the things that drives me bonkers, is the amount of people on social media that feel the need to tell us about taxation and stuff like that without having the remotest idea what they're talking about. And there's been a meme going round about the footballer Marcus Rashford, which is the most ludicrous thing I've seen. And I started to bother to argue with people about it, and then I thought, you know what, I'm losing the will to live. People just so clearly don't understand, but they still want to argue about it. Basically, I don't know if you've seen the meme, it tried to imply that because he'd asked the government to supply school meals to people, that he really should do more with his own earnings, And somebody had gone into the company's house and pulled a small report on his P&L, basically. On his balance sheet. And not his P&L, on his balance sheet, and found a couple of things on there and thought they knew what it meant, but they didn't. Basically, they tried to imply that he'd taken £4,900, and they tried to imply that that was his salary and that's all he paid tax on. Well, that was wrong for a start. It was from 2017, which was when £5,000 was the tax-free limit on dividend payments, so he'd obviously taken a dividend up to the tax-free limit, which everybody else had done as well.
Sure.
And of course, that has since changed. Whenever it was 2018, 19, it was reduced to £2,000. But that was the first thing. And then the second thing was he'd taken a director's loan, and they were trying to say that this was tax avoidance. And I was going, have you seen the section 455? Have you really? You think that's tax avoidance, then he needs to shoot his accountants, basically, because that is the worst way of avoiding tax.
Advocate shooting accountants.
The serious point here is that UK tax law, I think. The meme says there's 12,000 pages of UK tax law, whereas the Hong Kong tax law runs to 100 pages. It's a very complicated thing that we're involved in.
Yes, we've got a bit of a joke. We have a joke in the office about the HMRC's Office of Tax Simplification, and what that must be like working there. It must be soul destroying.
Yeah,
because every year it just gets more and more complicated.
It does, and I guess that's because everybody avoids going back to the start and scrapping it all and starting again, which is difficult. I admit it's difficult because these things are cumulative, aren't they? You know, although having said that, they pulled this stunt with loan charges where they tried to go after people for something they did years ago, which was out of order. The thing I want to dwell on with you, though, because I think this is probably where you're coming from, is that you're there to help people with this. That's the whole point of what we're doing here.
So most, a lot of accountants focus on saving tax. Now, that's obviously a given, because no one wants to pay more tax than they have to.
Yeah.
But actually, our clients aren't. They're not necessarily focusing on that.
Mm.
They're focusing on paying more tax, believe it or not.
Mm.
The more tax you pay just means the more profit you've made.
Just more successful you are. Yes.
So a lot of people spend, a lot of their life, some people spend a lot of their life focusing on the wrong thing, trying to, do the tax man out of some money, when actually the focus is wrong. You should be focusing on how do we grow the business, how do we employ more people, how do we build this business, and the tax, don't pay more than you should, but let's get as much profit as we possibly can, because profit adds to the economy, it creates wealth. So my clients, because we are quite selective on who we work with, they're all people that want to grow their business, so they don't see tax, they see unnecessary tax as a bad thing, but they don't see tax per se as a bad thing.
Sure. No, absolutely. And that's absolutely correct, isn't it? I mean, if you look at any level of taxation, the more VAT you're paying, the more things you're buying and selling. The more corporation tax you're paying, the more profits you made. Yeah, absolutely. Is there a particular pattern of businesses that you see that you work with, Will, that grow in a particular way? I mean, that's a bit of an obscure question, I know. A lot of businesses kind of trundle along. A lot of businesses say, right, I want to grow. From your point of view, are there a few things that you say, look, this is, in order to grow your business, these are the things you need to focus on, these are the things you need to do?
Yeah, so obviously once you've made the decision to grow, you've got to, people need to really think about their own role in the business, because they obviously, some people get in their own way. Yeah. Once you can separate you from your own business, you can actually start putting other people in place. So some of our biggest clients are in the construction industry,
right?
And it's the people that are working on the tools every day and then trying to run the business at the same time that really struggle.
Yeah.
As soon as that owner, that initial startup person, you have to work on the tools at the beginning, but as soon as you get away from the tools, start looking at it as a business rather than a job, that's when you can really take off.
Yeah, and then the government come along with reverse VAT and really make it all
worse. The Office of Tax Simplification. Then let's do reverse charge VAT for CIS and confuse everyone.
Yeah, exactly. okay, and you're absolutely right. I guess that's the difference between a sole trader, a micro business, someone that's running a business based on their own technical skills, whatever they may be, whether they be a bricklayer or a florist or whatever, versus someone that's building a business. And I suppose that is the hardest thing, isn't it? That if you started a business because you're a great plumber and then you want to build a business, the one thing you can't do is plumbing. Yeah, you've got to build a business, which is a completely different skill set.
Absolutely.
And from your point of view, do you have a view on what that skill set is, what it takes to actually build a business, what kind of skills you actually need?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've worked with hundreds of business owners over the years, and I think the ones that are really successful have obviously a quite interesting attitude to risk.
Right.
They wouldn't be running their own businesses unless they like to take risk.
Right.
And I think the sooner as you realise as a business owner that you can't do everything yourself, that's the moment that you actually can grow the business.
Right.
So they all believe in people and empowering people.
Yeah.
Because the people that say, I can never find any good staff, or, I have to do everything myself, are self-limiting their businesses.
Yeah.
So it's the people that believe in helping other people, getting other people to help them and empowering them to do a good job, is the people that have really grown their businesses.
Some people find it very hard to delegate, don't they?
Absolutely.
And do you
I find it very, very easy to delegate, as my team will tell you.
I'm not coming in today. Get on with it.
Going on the radio today. I try not to do anything in my business that
somebody
can
do
by someone else, because I believe in creating employment as well. I
love that he believes in creating employment as well. It's a great thing to say.
Well, you know, that if you think about it, that's the point of business, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about growth. I don't want to get too political about this, but I saw someone moaning the other day, some Extinction Rebellion idiot.
As he was glued to the roof, right?
As his face was glued to the M25, he was going, oh, the problem with the world is, you know, we've only got finite resources. Well, actually, that's not true. Most things aren't finite. Most things are fairly infinite. You know, there are certain natural resources that are difficult. But, a thousand years ago, I worked in the oil and nuclear industry. And back in the 70s, people were going, peak oil, we're going to run out of oil any minute now. But the reality is there's more untapped oil now than has ever been extracted from the earth.
Mm.
Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to keep extracting it because, you know, there's a whole thing about fossil fuels and not being very good. But very few things are finite. And mostly what happens in my experience is anything that is finite, somebody invents a way around it, by looking at something completely different. Mm. Your agenda for growth, if I can put it that way, is laudable. And I think it's really important that we grow things and we create employment and we create businesses that are self-sustaining, you know, that don't rely on just one person to be there, that take on a life of their own and grow and can do stuff. And, of course, there's a whole load of things on R&D tax credits where the government worked out a long time ago that paying people to research and develop new products is a massive benefit to the economy because they get a big return on that investment. But for a lot of people, the big the point where life becomes difficult as a business owner is when you employ your first person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because nowadays, not only have you got to run a payroll and you've got to do, you know, workplace pensions and employers' national insurance and all the other things that go with it, and provide sick pay and worry about things like that. So there's a whole heap of administration stuff. So is that something you help businesses with?
Yeah, I've got a lovely lady called Carly who takes care of all of our pensions and payroll.
Right.
She'll be happy that I mentioned her name. Mm. But we basically, the way we help people grow is to take care of all of the stuff that should be taking up their time,
right,
would otherwise be taking up their time, so they can't focus on their sales and their marketing and building the business, plus talking to them regularly about building the business.
Mm.
One of the things that, talking about sort of believing in employment, one of the things that we will never do is outsource our work.
Right.
You know, so I'd rather employ the next generation of accountants and train them. 80% of our people are training because they want to be accountants in the future.
Right.
So I do believe in sort of helping our new next generation.
So what background would they come from? What sort of qualifications would they need to start with you?
They start quite young. We've got Eleanor and Rachel in
Five.
Our office. A bit older than that. So they come from school.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Brilliant.
College. Sometimes they've had jobs between them and they've realised that that's not what they want to do.
Yeah.
So we always sort of every year we take on one or two trainees to try and grow the business like that.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And you're absolutely right. And it is wearing my other hat, the Joss & Kent hat. One of the things we've seen over the last few years is a lot of professional service firms, accountants and law firms, have ceased taking people from university and taking them straight in from school and college, because both of those professions have their own professional qualifications anyway. So as long as they're doing their professional qualifications, you know, they don't need degrees necessarily to do it. So I love what you're doing, and I love the fact that you're doing that. Is there anything else for anyone thinking about you know, so someone's got their business and they're thinking, do you know what, I want to grow this, I want to make this into something bigger. Have you got any other advice for them in terms of how to go about thinking about what they do? What I'm trying to get at, I guess, is what's the baseline? It's one thing to sit and go, right, I'm going to become the next Amazon, I'm going to become the next Microsoft, I'm going to become the next Virgin Group. But at the moment, it's just me. from your point of view, what are the things that people need to get their mind around in terms of growth?
So I think a lot of it is your mindset.
Yeah.
If you think, you know, if you plan and think about the business that you want in a few years' time, you can achieve anything you set out to do. That's my belief. If you set out to not grow your business, then your business won't grow. But if you really work on the business, because a lot of business owners don't necessarily spend any time developing the business's systems and thinking about how the business works, all the parts fit together. So I think you've got to set out to grow. I'm a big believer that you will achieve whatever you set out. So I would say write down a few lines about what you want your business to look like, you know, next year, the year after, in 10 years time, and that will be the business that you end up with.
Right. I mean, it's interesting these days. I mean, we've talked about Xero and other automated bookkeeping systems, and now, you know, we're kind of forced down that route anyway with making tax digital and all the other stuff that government come out with. But one of the great ways now that, you know, I started my first business over 30 years ago, and of course one of the big differences now is the amount of technical tools available and apps available to help you do a lot of the things that once upon a time were very time consuming, if you could do them at all, were very time consuming paper based things. As far as you're concerned as an organization, I'm assuming that you are great users and helpers of advising people on various bits of technology to use, digital technology.
Yeah, so the new buzzword is tech stack, isn't it?
So yeah.
What's your tech stack?
Yeah.
So we are we're definitely get involved with helping people figure out the best system. Could be an EPOS system or could be a CRM database.
Yeah.
One of the ones that we've recently got heavily involved in is one called HubDoc.
Yeah.
And that heavily automates the accounts payable process. So right. It reads invoices, extracts the data, and we've saved sort of 20 hours a month for some clients.
Wow.
Not typing in manual data. So yeah, we do get involved. We don't necessarily support every single technology software that a client's come up with, but we will help integrate it with Xero where we can.
Yeah.
It's exciting times. We took Xero on 12 years ago.
Wow.
And I had conversations with people, so what happens if the internet goes down, sort of thing. But it's moved on so long, so far now, because, you know, the internet is staple to all of our businesses.
Sure. Yeah. Will, it's fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to find out more about Axis, what's your website?
So it's accssysltd.co.uk. So it's axislimited.co.uk. Believe it or not, we're also on TikTok.
Wow.
Because we're not your average accountants.
Absolutely.
And Instagram, Facebook, and Mia will have to remind me if I've forgotten any of the others. But
You're on Twitter as well, yeah.
I would also, if you don't mind, sort of plug our blog.
Yeah, go for it.
We publish a blog, business-based growth blog, every week. We've got a newsletter based on that, and it's all on topics about how to grow your business. Our latest one's about cryptocurrencies.
Right,
okay. Very topical at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all about helping people grow businesses, and it's all free content. So right. If you'd like to go onto our blog, then please do.
Fantastic, and that's going to be found on your website.
Yeah, accssltd.co.uk.
There's a link to the website on the Business Bunker Radio website. That will stay there forever. So do check them out. Do check out the blog. For the moment, Will, thank you so much. Will Wood of Axis Accountants.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Do you know what I'm going to do now?
What are you going to do? A little FSB, uninterrupted?
I'm going to do an uninterrupted.
Oh, I bet Will could interrupt if
he
wanted.
I bet he could, but most likely it will be you, because you're the one that always interrupts, aren't you? I'm going to do the Federation of Small Business News Roundup.
Off you go.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Entries are now open for Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK. And you're invited. Whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way through to the spectacular UK final, it's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. It's free to enter, so what are you waiting for? Go to www.fsbawards.co.uk. Kent and Medway FSB is delighted to support Kent Business Summit 2022. This will be held on the 14th of January, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. It's the fifth annual summit and has a clear emphasis on business opportunity and sustainability, with the latest news from key projects alongside expert keynote speakers. Confirmed speakers include leaders from Kent County Council, Medway Council and the Bank of England, providing up to the minute overviews of key regional activity and economic insights. It's taking place at the Kent Business School at the University of Kent at Canterbury, and you can book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. Okay, dokie. I'm going to give you now a number of webinars and events that are taking place. At the end of it, I will give you a link where you can find out more about all of these events, and you can find all the links to book them. There's taking place on Monday the 15th of November is the post COP26 sustainability and carbon footprint reduction strategy for Kent SMEs. This is an in-person event. It's a physical event, will be a workshop and include networking with small business owners and sole traders. There'll also be an opportunity to discuss electric vehicles and to try out Kent County Council's electric vehicles for hire service. On Wednesday the 17th of November, there's networking, Let's Talk Technical, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. You're invited to a new virtual networking group focusing on small businesses in the engineering, manufacturing and transport sector. This is a national network designed to grow your contacts within this sector and give you the opportunity to discuss topics important to you. And we're going to be meeting on the third Wednesday of every month for 1 hour online. This Thursday, the 11th of November, is Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, 11:15 a.m. to 12:30. At this event, we will be discussing all things branding and marketing with Amwyn Cooper of Get Fruitful Marketing. Amwyn has over 20 years marketing experience and will be sharing with us her presentation, Thinking Bigger, How to Increase Your Income and Impact Through More Fruitful Marketing. That's Thursday, the 11th of November. Also on the 11th of November is the Property and Construction event, Tax Saving for Developers and Those Considering Developments, on Thursday, November the 11th, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. This event will focus in on savings for developers and those considering property developments. On Tuesday, the 16th of November, Creating an Inclusion Culture in Your Business. As business owners, it's important that we create a culture of inclusion within both our businesses and our client base. Join us for this webinar when Alicia Rosemary of Essential Learning Curve will talk about how small business owners can be inclusive within their business. And there is Navigating Global Trade, Unblocking Your International Potential. This is on Wednesday the 17th of November, 4 to 5 p.m. We bring together an expert panel to talk about how international trade can help your business, the resources available and tips for navigating the rules and processes. On Thursday the 18th of November, How Using Less Can Save Money and the Planet. This webinar will help business owners change their mindset, reduce consumption and costs, and highlight the positive impacts that small have on your business and the environment. That's Thursday the 18th of November at 11 a.m. There's Kent Virtual Networking, Wednesday the 24th of November, 4pm to 5pm. Peter Searle is hosting this free event. These Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owner. Everyone is welcome. This event, the speaker is Amy Payne. Amy's brilliant. She's the guest speaker, and we'll be discussing current threats, key points on how to protect your business, and useful resources to protect your business from cybercrime. Amy is the current Protect and Prevent Officer for Kent Police. And then on the 15th of December, Big Small Business Networking UK, something very special is taking place. The largest ever small business networking event in the FSB's history. If you would like to network with hundreds of small businesses from across the UK, you can do so on the 15th of December. Now, all of those things can be found and booked by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and you can find out all about those events.
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
A firm has been set up by the late Michelin-starred chef Gary Rhodes. If you remember, Gary sadly died in November. I interviewed him a while back, many years ago, and he's just a really, really lovely, friendly and generous man. Really lovely. So he stunned the world of cuisine when he sadly died. But the firm that he set up was... has been sold.
Rocket.
Yeah, R-H-O-K-E-T-T.
Rocket.
E-T. Yeah, Rocket. I see.
Rocket with a
hook. Yeah, well, that, isn't that from Rhodes?
Yeah, yeah.
I think. It's clever, isn't it?
It's clever, isn't it? I see what he did there.
Yeah, and it's based in Cranbrook, and it's got additional facilities in Hawkhurst, near Tunbridge Wells. And it was set up in 2002 by the chef, who grew up in Gillingham and trained, of course, at the what was then called the Thanet College. They've rebranded it as Broadstairs College. I don't know why, because I thought Thanet College was good, because it is based in Thanet. Makes it seem bigger than Broadstairs.
Well, Broadstairs based in Broadstairs.
Yeah, but Thanet's a bigger place, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Thanet is the whole area. Whereas, anyway, they obviously prefer it. The company, which he created alongside Martin Dockett and Peter Lavoie, produces a range of premium chilled desserts.
Wonder Do you see what they said there? Dockett and Rhodes.
Oh, that is so clever. What about Peter Lavoie?
He was too late. Not mentioned.
It might be their middle name. What did you say there, Terry?
Not mentioned.
Not mentioned, yeah, okay. Yeah. He might have joined later, yeah. So they have customers that include five-star hotels, airlines and supermarkets. It's now been sold to private equity-backed Palacios, a Spanish organisation which develops, produces and sells a wide range of food products. I do love a pudding. Terry, my favourite being just a very simple panna cotta, not played about with. Don't like it played about with, Will. I just like it very plain, maybe with a few berries on the top, but a nice vanilla hit. I don't want it chocolate or anything.
Are you still
stuff.
Doing your 3 days a week at that place near Sittingbourne? Where were you going? The Ship Inn? Were you having?
Oh.
What was it you were having?
Yeah,
at
the time? The baked yogurt.
Baked yogurt,
oh,
that was
my
him.
Goodness. Yeah. Well, I believe that that chef, who was also on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, during the pandemic, he has left. So I need to go and try, because he was a great chef. Mm. Matthew, I think his name was, off the top of my head. But I need to do a little foray. Once my new husband's foot's read, you know, better, and because he can't walk, Paul Andrews. Tell you what, he's milking it a bit now there.
What's wrong with his foot?
Well, he's supposed to elevate it. So he had a ganglion, which he'd had for a couple of years, and it got to a stage where it was so big, it turned into a double ganglion, and then he had to have it cut out. But when they cut it out, they found it wasn't a ganglion. Mm. And he went to... what's it called? The nice hotel in hospital in Maidstone, Kim's.
Oh, Kim's. Yeah.
Had it done on the National Health at Kim's. Said it was lovely. Didn't want to come home. Yeah, he sent me pictures of his lunch, and he had the telly on, and because I don't allow the telly on when we're eating. I'm very strict.
Yeah.
He had the telly on and his little foot elevated. But actually, when they chopped it open, his foot, they found it was like some sort of cartilage growing. It sounds revolting, like frog spawn.
Right.
So he's got to elevate it. and he's milking it, quite honestly.
My beautiful Amanda's got a broken ankle at the moment.
Can't they just move in together and look after each other?
Yeah, should they really?
Because I'm running in baths.
Share crutches.
And he's no help with the greyhound, because I'm having to do the morning walk, the lunchtime walk, the tea time walk, and the nighttime walk.
There you go.
Too many walks.
Is it?
Yeah.
She's only 18 months, though.
She would have done the Lambeth walk, but she's from Essex.
You can give me tips, but we've got a 38-foot lounge, and she gets the zoomies in the lounge, and, you know, it's all a bit dicey.
Yeah.
Or Darcy.
Darcy.
Yeah. I've got an email here from Maidstone Borough Council.
Well, what are they saying?
They've said they've received a national recognition, winning the prestigious Local Government Chronicle Awards 2021 housing category. Maidstone Borough Council submitted its bid for the award based on the homelessness prevention initiative One View, pioneered by the council's housing team, bringing together data from internal and external organisations to identify people in Maidstone who may be at risk. The council set homelessness prevention as its top strategic priority in 2019, following a 58% increase in just 5 years. The council looked at a proactive new approach to tackling homelessness by designing and implementing One View, an innovative data and analytics tool, and is the first local authority to successfully introduce a new way of supporting those most in need in its community, and they've won an award, the housing category, at the Local Government Chronicle Awards. So congratulations to the lovely folks at Maidstone Borough Council.
IFF Kitchen, who are based in Manston, also in Thanet, say hello, Business Bunker, Jewel Circuit and Vanilla Web. Mm. We would love a cheery shout out on Tuesday using the B-Bunker hashtag. We are delivering scrumptious meals to your home and your office throughout the UK, but we're based in Kent.
Fantastic.
There's a lovely picture of the chef there, looking gorgeous. I saw that. With all her pasta.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, most men would like her delivered in a little takeaway delivery, wouldn't they? Rather than a meal.
I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved in that. Mental health first aid training and short awareness workshops are delivered by West Kent Mind. Yeah. West Kent Mind is a local mental health charity with a mission to enrich lives through better mental health by offering support. Kerry Hodgkiss, who's the training manager, says according to the ONS, 1 in 5 adults reported experiences of depression in early 2021. I'm surprised it's not more than that, to be honest, because we've had some real mental health issues over the last 18 months.
Hardly surprised.
And she's saying that's compared to 1 in 10 before the pandemic. So they've got CPD certified short workshops, and they're only £40 per person, and the fully accredited mental health first aid course is offered at the special rate of £150. So here's the courses. January starts Tuesday the 11th of January, adult mental health first aid. Thursday the 25th of January, understanding stress and anxiety. On February the 2nd, understanding depression. And then March, adult mental health first aid, March the 15th. You can find out all about those courses and anything else by going to westkentmind.org.uk/training courses. That's westkentmind.org.uk/training courses. Or if you just want to talk to someone, you can email training@westkentmind.org.uk.
And we've had a smashing tweet from Casey Canine 2014. It's a lovely little greyhound in his red harness. And he says, how about a shout out for my unrequited love, Darcy? I hear she's been misbehaving herself. And he's even used the Bee Bunker hashtag. It's very clever, that greyhound.
Yeah, he certainly is, yeah.
And did we read Christmas Tenterton saying thank you very much for the light trail shout out today? They're very close and really hope to smash their goal for the weekend.
Yeah, do support it. Can you tell us what their Twitter handle is so people can follow it?
I will. It is at Xmas in Tenterton.
Absolutely.
Exactly what it says.
Give them a follow and find the link for putting some money in. And I insist that you do put some money in. That's an order.
And 50 cents, S-E-N-S-E, has been chirping in and says, agreeing, the bus fares are extortionate. I pay £1.80 for a couple of stops. I can get all over London for £150. So she's talking about...
£1.50, yeah.
I mean, I think the last time I took a bus, it was when it was my birthday, and I went into Canterbury and got a bus back. Mm. It was about over £7.
Yeah.
It took forever.
Yep.
So, yeah, I wasn't happy.
You're never happy.
No. And Tracy at Tasey 64 says, well done on the award, Maidstone Borough Council. Sounds like a fantastic initiative to support our homeless.
Absolutely. There's marketing grants. The Marketing Meetup are offering grants and marketing support to small businesses. You can find out more and apply by going to themarketingmeetup.com/positivelylovelygrants.
Like that. And did you see Alpha Bray's lovely Keith has done pyrography? I don't even know what that is. What's pyrography? Pyrography.
That's when you dress up as a pirate.
He's done pyrography on the numbers, and they've done these lovely homemade advent calendars that you can use every year for the grandchildren.
Okay.
Can you see,
like
Will? Yeah. You're an accountant. You'd like that.
You know numbers.
Can't count that high.
But what a lovely, lovely gift.
Absolutely.
To be passed on through generations.
Absolutely. There's a free 2-month electric van trial. Kent County Council has received funding to offer free 2-month electric van trials to small businesses in Kent. If you go to greenbusinesshub.eco/greenbusinesscommunity, you can find out all about it.
Who's had that squeaky chair? I like this. This is about Margate. It's the former M&S store, which has been empty for yonks, and it's beginning a new chapter. The £750,000 government cash boost. Personally, I think when M&S moved out of Margate, it was very, very difficult, wasn't it? Because they moved to the Thingy Bob, you know.
West Cross.
Yeah, Westwood Cross, where there's free parking and everything else. But I think it was a shame. They should have sort of made them stay there in some way with an incentive. But anyway, they're going to now turn it into a prominent building turned into a training space focused on digi technology. It's going to be called Margate Digital. Once open, it's envisaged to offer cutting edge facilities and training for those aiming to get into the digital technology sector. You'll have to interview them, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely, we will. We'll have them on the show. That'll be good. But you know what? She's having a slug of drink. Where are you going there, gin?
No, a little gin. Well, I've been eating my... I didn't offer you one today. A bit rude of me, my little ginger things, roots.
She's got a flask of gin, some crystallised ginger and a boiled egg. I mean, what kind of...
And some sanitiser.
And some sanitiser. What kind of diet is that?
It's just anything, really. Anything goes.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Anyway, we've reached the end of another show.
That was very quick. Remind us who the sponsor was.
The sponsor was the lovely folks at DG East, Vehicle Services. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's guest, Mr. Terry Thorpe, the chair of the Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Will Wood, chief executive, managing director, owner.
Yeah, that's why I answered a lot worse.
T-boy. T-boy. Access accountants in Maidstone. Thank you so much to both of you gentlemen for being fantastic guests on the show. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jules Serkin. We'll be back next week with another show. This Thursday on the Business Bunker Extra Show at 1 o'clock, I've got something different for you.
Ooh, what have you got?
I've got interviews from the women.
Morris Dancers.
I've got interviews from a Women in Business Big Show.
That's
not Big Women in Business. That's Women in Business Big Show. I was there last Friday.
Frolicking, were you?
I was frolicking. Mm-hmm. And we've got interviews with Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Kelly Tolhurst MP, former Minister for Small Businesses, and Zoe Cairns, and then a load of interviews with exhibitors there. So look out for that. 1 o'clock on Thursday. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.